This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop, assemble, and bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Welcome back. Second hour, 96.5. The Fan Character Concerns NFL Draft Special. Jay Binkley, Chris Nocero, Julio Sanchez producing the operation, and special guest, Matt McMullen from Chiefs.com. Get into that in just a second. But before that,
this
Chris
show,
got something he's going
to
be doing.
I'm definitely not doing this. But this show is brought to you by Salvation Army's Down for the Challenge. Register today to do something I will not do, which is rappel down GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium on May 22nd.
Sorry, Julio will.
He's more information. Like more information at downforthechallengekc.com.
There you go. Rappel.
You nailed it. That was great.
You're gonna do
it's probably my best time reading doing that reading.
You're gonna be doing a breakfast for that event, right?
Yeah, I'm hosting the breakfast. Yeah, over at the stadium, should be pretty cool.
You're hosting the breakfast.
Yeah.
How do you host a breakfast? What do you do?
I guess I'll find out. Won't I?
Gravy.
You have to have someone that kind of moves it along because there's like a presentation, right?
Yeah. There's stuff that they're not just gonna hear some food and that's it. They're gonna
rappel.
They're gonna give you some entertainment.
Hey, if you're getting
too.
Free food, you need to be on that rappelling.
No,
if you're getting the free food. You need
because you might throw up after because you're going down. I don't know how fast this rappelling is, but
it's slow. I'm sure.
Pretty sure I would throw up. I want it to be.
You
fast.
Do have some empty space there. You got to go down because everything's not right.
Yeah,
against
I think I'd throw up if I did that. I'm good.
I'm thinking about it. They said I could do it if I wanted.
You should do it.
I'm thinking. I don't know. I'm not scared of heights, but I'm also not thrilled about heights.
Oh, I'm
same way, man.
So. I get vertigo and all that. I'm good. I'll pass.
So Matt's in here. He does a great job with draft prospects and breakdowns like the combine. He's with Mitch Holtus. They do a ton of stuff, and they talk to a lot of the guys. Obviously, Chiefs.com does great work. He collects championship hats, which he gets one every year.
I mean, he flexes every year on Twitter, showing all of his hats and t-shirts
and his
that he
rings
collects.
They're like way
yeah,
too big.
Yeah, all the rings. Yeah, he's just flexing on
these
us every year. 85
Royals coming in with a ring sometimes. It's right. Like, man, the size difference between those and these Chiefs.
You should just do that. Just wear all of your championship hats and t-shirts. You'd
probably get you free beer here and there, a free meal.
Yeah. So, Matt, they were lacking on hats this year, weren't they?
We got two hats this year, right?
Right.
So
just
AFC
two.
West and conference champion.
I have the
Julio is also an employee of the Chiefs, so yeah.
I have them too.
He collects them too.
I have them too, and I have the Super Bowl. But do I wear it or not? Because they didn't win it. I mean, that's my big question. I keep looking at it. I'm like, that's kind of a cool hat, but it brings back those memories. Do I need to get over that? Just wear the damn hat.
So it's all like memorabilia for me. So I think I have 14 hats. And the reason it's important to me.
All they've done is one since you've been here.
Yeah. So I'm from Kansas City. So I went through like the bad times as a fan. But I was an intern in 2016. I came in halfway through the season. And I thought it was so cool that when we won the AFC West that year, they gave me a free AFC West champion hat.
I wore one too.
Thought it was so cool.
It was kind of a big deal.
It was a big deal.
Then they won 9 in a row.
You got an AFC championship
hat. I do, man. I mean,
AFC West champion.
I don't buy the shirt.
2016, it was a big deal.
I'll tell you, when they lost to the Bucks, I was like, I'm not buying that AFC championship hat. Like, I'm good.
You've been working with the Chiefs doing audio and stuff for the past couple of years. How many rings have you collected?
He does on-field
stuff. I've got two.
You got two of them now.
Yep.
Matt's got three, I think.
That's true. I do have three. And they don't have much practical use except talking about them and bringing them out when, like, your grandparents come over.
Stunning on people. You flex with those rings and you let people know, hey, I earned this. That's what you do with it.
Or if I'm having, like, a bad day. There have been times that, like, 11:45 at night, can't sleep, just go downstairs, put on the rings real quick.
Well, you got Beach on speed dial. What's he doing at 31?
If I knew that answer, I don't think I'd be talking about it on the radio.
You can write it down on a piece of paper and then slide it to us.
No matter what, and put the name of the guy.
And we will just, we won't even say it. We'll just drop hints for the next 2 weeks.
There's plenty of players that I'm interested in. I think I'm glad that I don't like have insight on those things because that way I can actually like look at the draft and decide what players I like.
Well, let's face it, things do change. Like,
oh yeah,
this
100%. And you know, I think that's why I think this draft, I'm more excited about this one than I think I've ever been before, because I think the way the Chiefs have attacked free agency is we're in a position, I think, to take truly the best player available on the board. And there's been a lot of years where you say, hey, we have to take a tackle here or we have to take a receiver here. I don't think it's the case this year because
last year clearly was a receiver in my eyes.
And it worked out well.
It worked out great. But they needed Worthy.
But think about like 2023 when I think there was also a lot of clamor for getting a receiver, and at 19 overall, no receivers had been taken, but then four went in a row. It was Smith and Jigba, Zay Flowers went.
Quentin Johnston
went, and then Jordan Addison went.
Yeah.
And the top four guys go, and it's like, oh, shoot, well, what are you going to do now? I don't think it's the case this year with the Chiefs where if there's like a run on a certain position, I'm going to be like, okay, that just means that another guy is going to be available.
But the guy they took in Rice ended up with the second most catches and yards out of any rookie receiver. The only one better was Puka, and as I bring it up, he was the third, fifth round selection of the Rams. It's not like he wouldn't have been the third, fifth round selection 100%. The Rams kind of got one on that one.
Yeah, it worked out okay for the Rams with Puka. But I think Rashee, as good as his rookie year was about to have like a monster season last year before he got injured. And I'm so excited to see what he can do this year.
He kind of cleans out the middle, kind of like does a lot of the stuff Kelce.
He's like an extension of the running
receiver
game.
Position.
He's like an extension of the running game, basically, where there's quick passes over the middle. He's so physical. Like, I think him and Hollywood and Xavier, finally, which we never actually saw last year, is going to be an awesome trio.
Yeah, I always I remember the 97 catches he had his final year at SMU. And like second on the team was like 35 or something.
It was the whole offense.
There's a reason why the Chiefs like certain guys. It's like Mahomes. When he was a quarterback, he had to score a touchdown every single time on the field because their defense was 128th in scoring defense. And there was only 128 teams in Division I at that time. So you understand there's kind of a rhyme and reason the direction that they go. So I clearly understand that one. So you're sitting there at 31. And that's the thing Chris and I have been talking about. Are you going to be fielding calls? Because there's only a few guys that I think would be the, hey, I need to get back before the board resets itself for the second round. I need to get back up. We'll see if the Chiefs are taking calls. Because a lot of teams aren't taking the Chiefs calls. Will they take calls? I think they will. But a Luther Burden or a Derek Harmon. I think those are a couple of the guys that if they're still there, they would garner some phone calls. But they're also guys the Chiefs would kind of need.
Even like a guy like Jackson Dart, like if he was around at that spot and a team really likes him and they want the fifth-year option.
That'd be great because he's first-round guy
at this point. I mean, I think if you're the Chiefs, you have to keep all options on the table because as many picks as you can have in the top 100, that's a benefit. And I'm sure you guys have talked about this, but kind of the consensus I think with this draft is from pick 20 until like pick 60, it's a lot of the same kind of caliber player, I think. And that's where the Chiefs are going to live. I mean, that's a good thing to have for the Chiefs.
A lot of GMs will have, and Brett Veach sometimes, you know, we have 16 guys or they're first round grades. And a lot of teams will say we have this many first round grades. There wasn't that many in Kansas City. It was like 12 or something like that, that most of the teams, you know, had for first round grades. So essentially when you're picking at the end of first round, you're kind of getting second rounders as it is anyway. That's why they need for making some moves past Buffalo to get up and get McDuffie. Cause that was one of the guys they actually had a first round grade on. But he started slipping in the 20s and like, whoa, how are we going to get up here and get him? Let's bypass Buffalo. Buffalo's like picking right before the Chiefs again. And they seem to have the same needs as the Chiefs do, to be honest with you. But they ended up with Kyrie Elam, who's not even on the team anymore. And the Chiefs ended up with Trent McDuffie.
Worked out pretty well. That's why draft prep is so funny because while teams have guys with like 13 first round grades, doesn't it seem like if you go on like ESPN or wherever, like 60 players are being drafted in the first round?
Yeah. It seems like
probably 25 of those guys, you're seeing like Kuiper and them have a first round grade on them.
And you got to keep it with great insult, because if Kuiper picks somebody, chances are it's going to show up in like 30 of their mocks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like the group think of all of this mock drafting.
Right. Yeah. There's a whole, like, if he's mocking a tackle to the Chiefs, everyone's mocking a tackle to the Chiefs. And that's probably the most frustrating part.
As I mentioned, he was the 16th best mocker last year when they you know, ranked the mockers from their accuracy. Peter Schrager was number two, which is crazy. Because Schrager was two. Dude's been nailed when they pick Super Bowl teams.
He sure has. Hopefully he picks us this year.
And he's moved over to ESPN. He's got more role now, you know?
But the thing with McDuffie, looking back, as it relates to what we're talking about, is I think everyone agreed, okay, Trent McDuffie's going to go in the top, like, 13 18? Or 14 picks.
I thought it was 18. Because I saw him, like, late teens for on some.
He was considered a top 15 pick, to be honest with you. A lot of people, the first round grade, everybody kind of had one on him.
Like, I was shocked that he was available.
Buffalo really wanted him.
Well, yeah, they did.
I didn't spend a lot of time on him because I didn't think it was realistic he would fall to us.
Yeah,
same. But then, I mean, you can see when he's available at 21, that's when Brett makes the move. And it worked out pretty well. I don't think the Chiefs win the two Super Bowls without Trent McDuffie, certainly the one against the Niners.
Yeah, certainly that one.
He's been a Super Bowl every year.
He's been with this team.
Yeah.
What about Fulton coming over here? It allows kind of McDuffie to go back to kind of what he's best at. He's good at both, but slot is where he can dominate.
I think that's one of the most like underrated moves of the offseason is bringing in Christian Fulton.
Because Fulton's kind of it's kind of a two-way move, to be honest with you, because it allows McDuffie to go back in that slot.
Well, and also Chimari Connor, who is kind of manning that role, can
who
be
does
more,
everything
more of a traditional team. Safety, maybe. It helps everything. And Fulton is a guy who can be out there on an island as an outside corner, one of the better corners in the NFL. He's still young. It's hard to find those guys. You pair him with Jalen Watson as well. I'm just really fired up about it. And again, that gives the Chiefs flexibility, I think, in the draft to go best player available. You don't have to go a corner early if you don't want to, because you have a guy in Christian Fulton that you believe in.
We talked about this when we were walking up here, is like, you look at how they address free agency. There isn't a need right now.
Yeah.
Like, there certainly are some positions we'd like to see them fill.
But they hit a lot of them free agency.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned, it's selective guys that you think fit your team.
A defensive tackle, a left tackle. You know, they obviously brought back Bolton, so linebacker is not a position they're looking at.
The guy in defensive line.
Yeah, you brought Pinnell and Tillery in and guys like that. I just love how...
Yeah, and Tillery's a guy I loved a couple years ago.
Right. So, like, you look at the way that they've addressed their free agency. There isn't that one big hole that they have to fill. And so it's like now we're kind of looking at this situation. It's like there's so much flexibility in what they could do. They could move up, move back. It's not very predictable in the way that it's been, especially last year, where like we knew wide receiver first round had to be that. Otherwise, you know, you're kind of putting yourself in a situation where things are getting a little tough round two.
So if I ask you right now, it's picking at 31. They do have 63 and 66, which is huge.
That second one.
Do they trade back?
It's
trying to get something
nice.
Close. 65, 66, 70. Would you do that, or do you stay at 31 if you're doing it right now?
Right now I would stay. And the reason why is just because I think, you know, we've talked about this in past years where Vicha said rounds two and three are kind of the sweet spot in, you know, that set.
Which is perfect that he has 63 and 66.
And this year you've got three picks in between that 20 to 60, like you talked about, Matt. Like, to me, that when you're in that position, you got to maximize that value. So unless you got a player that you really covet, like let's say there's a guy who's probably a mid-second guy, you're sitting there at 63, and you can package those picks and move up so that you can go get that guy. That's the only reason why I would even make a trade in that scenario.
I might get in the fetal position and cry if they don't have
it. Like that's the only
second pick in the third round.
That's what I'm saying. That's the only reason why I would even move that is if they really covet a guy mid-second round or even first round, they really covet a guy. Like, let's say they're sitting there at 26 with the Rams on the clock and you got Derek Harmon or Walter Nolan sitting there. I can see it there. But to me, I would want to maximize being in that position and getting the most value you can in those rounds, because I think that's really kind of where you can make your money if you're the Chiefs.
Yeah, and I think if you look back at the 2022 draft, which was like the transformative draft that allowed all this to happen.
Yeah. The guys that are on three Super Bowl teams.
They won in rounds two through four that year.
They did, and it was a matter of quantity. And you get as many guys as you can in that range, good football players that come into your system. I'm with you on that I'm more into the, if you stay true to your board, you let the board fall to you. You don't say, hey, we have to get this player. The Chiefs just don't operate that way. And because of what they've done in free agency, they don't have to.
You don't panic. And as I said, going into 23 season, 21 of the previous 22 draft picks were still on the roster, whether on the practice squad or on the roster.
Wow.
And there is not another GM that you can say that with. And this is not like they're a team that doesn't make the postseason. This team was racking up Super Bowls, and they had 21 of 22 on the roster from the draft. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. I am curious, though, some of these moves. Well, offensive line, still a huge question mark for the Chiefs, or have they kind of solved that through free agency? We'll discuss that next with Matt.
You're listening to the Fans Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com. And by Powell Exteriors. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com. Your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Chris Unicero, Character Concerns Podcast, but it's radio version now. Why? Because the draft is 2 weeks away. Chris, take it away.
This show is brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com.
When they draft Luther Burden or Derek Harmon, just let that stuff fly, man.
Shoot them off.
I might, too. They might have a problem with landing with that.
And they probably wouldn't like it if you did that.
And then you check the laws in Clay County and all that, you know, as far as fireworks are concerned. We'll check that out. But Matt McMullen from the Kansas City Chiefs, Chief.com in here. He's looked at all these prospects. I love what you do on Twitter when you throw out the, you've looked at different prospects. And there's a bunch. And one of the things is offensive line, because clearly people watch the Super Bowl. That's another thing, too, when I heard people talking about somebody in the Eisen show that works on Eisen's. He was talking about the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and he didn't like the fact that Mahomes ran all that. And I was like, but he likes the Broncos to win the division. I'm saying, they lost 31-7 to the Bills. At least the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl. I mean, this makes no sense. But anyway, Jalen Moore, he defies that 34-and-a-quarter-inch arms that Andy Reid likes, because we saw the hesitation maybe to put Tooney out there because of the shorter arms, because that is legit. Think we're geeks all you want, but that's a legit thing with Andy Reid. It's 34-and-a-quarter-inch is what he typically gets. They do bring in Jalen Moore because he does have experience on that. And every mock in the world wants the Chiefs getting an offensive line.
I wonder what my arm length is. I should go measure before I then say other
guys. I don't know either.
I don't know what mine is.
T-Rex arms. But, you know,
that's a great thing for a bill, like at restaurants. You say, I can't reach the bill.
The thing with Moore that excites me is I like the idea of going and finding a player who was the understudy for one of the greatest left tackles of all time.
A Sky Moore teammate.
Someone that
Mike Caliendo.
They coveted Trent Williams, too. They really, when they tried to get him in 21, they really, really wanted to get him. So it makes sense that you would get the guy that played underneath him and seems to have learned a little bit something from him.
100%, because they really, like you said, that's why they settled with Orlando Brown. Because Trent Williams, that negotiations went deep into the night, like 2 a.m., something like that. I mean,
just didn't
Chiefs were major players. So they didn't want to move. That was fine. Orlando Brown in Baltimore. I mean, the rivals for the Chiefs keep helping them out, which is fine, because Nick Bolton came over pick 58, because that was one of the picks they got and turned into Bolton. So that's fine. I don't think the rivals are going to help the Chiefs anymore, but they keep doing it, so I digress.
We'll see what happens this year, right? But with Moore, when Williams was hurt, Moore went in and played really well, I think. And I don't know. It's one of those things where he's going to come in here and compete. I don't think right away you say this guy's going to be our starter for this long. He has to come in here and earn it. And I think that's the first thing that Coach Reid and Brett Veach would say. But I'm excited about it. And I keep saying this over and over, but by signing Moore, you give yourself flexibility where you don't have to watch the first round and say, oh, I hope one of these tackles falls to us. It reminds me of 2020 and trading for Orlando, or 2021, rather.
Because you know what? It was Sam Cosmi, Alex Leatherwood, Liam Eichenberg, Tevin Jenkins. All these guys end up moving to the inside or playing right on the right side.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs were like, because everybody in the world was mocking the Chiefs to a tackle.
They had to take one, right?
Because the Buccaneers Super Bowl, they just happened. Everyone's like, they got to fix that line. Well, the Chiefs had to make something happen. Love or hate Orlando Brown, he won a ring with this team, and they needed a left tackle, and they got one.
And he played well in the playoffs.
He did.
Didn't allow a single sack in that Super Bowl.
He had the shirt at the parade to prove it.
I was still trying to get one of those. He was passing them out. I was so close.
What, no sacks allowed one?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Put it on a T-shirt. But
yeah, you could have stunned it on that and throw that in your
Everybody was talking about the Eagles pass rush. Yeah. The Chiefs were actually number two in the league. Only they were two for two straight years, but I digress.
Yeah, well, it's Steve Spagnuolo for you, right?
Spags likes a blitz.
Yeah, we'll see if he finds a few pieces in this draft, because there's some guys that I think he would like a lot.
So Jalen, in your opinion, I mean, you get to talk to these guys and everything you see him. He's a guy that, I mean, obviously culture means a lot to this team because these guys like each other. It's why they keep winning. I mean, the locker room's pretty tight. I've seen Justin Reed on NFL Network last, you know, he was on today and he was on a couple weeks ago. And he was talking about that culture, you know, in the Chiefs locker room. Does he fit right in with what this offensive line is?
I think he will. Yeah. And we'll find out more in OTAs a little bit, at least. You know, I love watching OTAs, but at the same time, there's no pads on, there's no hitting, so you can't really
it's take okay too to much admit from that. It. I do too.
I still like it a lot. It's like a passing camp, but training camp is when we'll find out. And it'll be here before we know it, which is the crazy thing when we have these short off seasons. But yeah,
that's what happens when you go to Super Bowl every year, man. This
is it's a good problem to have, is it not?
what's the level of confidence that you're kind of feeling about Kingsley Suomata kicking inside the guard? Because that's been, I think, from a national standpoint, I don't think there's very much confidence that he's someone that is going to be in that role for very long. So you're seeing a lot of guys who are like tackle, guard, hybrid types being mocked to the Chiefs.
I think the versatility is big for Kingsley.
And also,
he's very young still.
Right, he's still really young. But also, like, there's a lot of people that we've heard that, like, still are concerned about that guard position. Like, what is the sense of confidence that you're kind of getting from that?
Well, it's funny because I remember being on this show with you guys a year ago talking about Kingsley and how he's being mocked to the Chiefs.
We talked about
at 31. The time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I have great confidence he can do that.
It was right after a Super Bowl.
It sure was. Here we are again, and hopefully we're doing it again next year, but we won this time.
Yeah.
With Kingsley, 22 years old, I think.
Yeah.
Great physical tools. Yeah. I mean,
wasn't it worthy, by the way, that wasn't able to buy a beer technically on draft night because it wasn't legal, but
his birthday was Draft Fest here in Kansas City.
21.
Yeah, he turned 21 2 days later. Insane. I mean,
crazy.
And think about the rookie season that he had, and he's only 22 years old, not even yet. I have great confidence that Kingsley can do that. I thought he looked great in that Bronco game with some limited reps and an opportunity to kick in at guard. And it's difficult to play tackle in the NFL. I still think Kingsley, if given an opportunity, could earn some reps there at some point. It's hard. He's young. And if you look at all the draft information going into last year's draft, a lot of it was he might need some time to develop, right? And I think this is his opportunity to develop. You have a whole offseason now. You don't have to worry about getting drafted and going to the combine and your pro day and all that. It's a matter of how do I make myself the best football player I can be in this system? And I think this is a big offseason for him, but I have great confidence he can do it for sure.
What makes it more difficult, do you think, with the guys coming in here? Is it the fact that these guys, that the banners are out there, you know, on the practice field, the banners, what this team has done, the expectations for this team? Or is it, you know, being the blindside protector for a quarterback that's won 3 Super Bowl MVPs?
Well, I think for the players that they bring in, and they do so much homework on these guys, they want the players who are excited for that opportunity. They're not scared of failure or scared of not being good or scared of, oh, I'm on the Chiefs now. Even though Kingsley had his struggles last year, I think he would tell you that he is confident in his ability to be a football player for this team. And that's why I'm confident in him as well. Xavier, though, had a similar kind of thing. I remember when I talked to him after he got drafted, he said he manifested it. He said that I've been saying I'm going to be on the Chiefs for 3 years.
He played
now.
Madden all the time.
Yeah.
Until Reed did, he looked just like the computer version. Like, he literally told Reed that, I think, at the combine.
Like, you want those players on your team that they want to be here to be part of the winning and to help. You don't want the players who are like, oh man, like, I'm on the Chiefs now. Like, the Chiefs don't draft those guys.
Like, fanboy out on, oh, Kelsey Mahomes and all. Yeah, you don't want that.
The Chiefs don't draft those guys. Those guys exist, but they don't end up being Chiefs. The players the Chiefs draft are the ones that are ready to come in here as professionals and help this team win because they believe in themselves.
And the one thing, again, going back to kind of the Chiefs, their method to the madness of who they draft, Xavier Worthy was the guy that blew them away at the combine. It was, because he not only did his plays, but what everybody else should be doing at the same time as far as the blocking schemes and everything else. He was an academic All Big 12 guy before they moved on to the SEC. And I do remind people, he led the Longhorns in catches and yards for 3 straight years. And 2 of those 3 years, he led them in touchdowns. Everybody's like, oh, that speed, he's just a 9-round vertical route guy. No, he does a little bit more than that. Don't let the size fool you. The dude's tough.
That's where his 40 actually hurt him a little bit, I think, because all of a sudden everyone compared him to, like, John Ross. It's like, no, he is so much better than just the 40 time.
He was our first mock guy, was Worthy, back in September that year.
The first mock we did in the fall before that draft, Xavier Worthy was our
first. We backed off when they signed Hollywood.
We did.
Because, similar players, yeah.
Yes, so we backed off.
Yeah, because going into the draft last year, we had the Chiefs taking A.D. Mitchell.
I liked him a lot, too, yeah.
And just because, like, the size, speed profile, because he's 6'2", 205, and there's not a whole lot of guys who are that big and run a 4.34, 4.35, 40.
It was sick.
So it was like that combo there. You got your other smaller speed guy.
And that's
Hollywood.
Kind of a quarterback issue with the Colts. So don't blame Mitchell.
Yeah, it's not Mitchell. Because Mitchell had some, especially early in the season, there were some times where he was wide open and Richardson just couldn't get it to him. But yeah, like that was our guy. But after him, it was Xavier Worthy for us after that. So we kind of got a half right, I guess. That was a guy we were looking at as a potential receiver for the Chiefs. But yeah, AD was our guy just because of that size speed. Well,
what about guards? I remember the Packers when they were racking up the wins and they get to the Super Bowl with Favre and then Rodgers. I think that offensive line maybe had one first round pick on it. It was a right tackle. I know maybe Bulaga was one of the guys, but it was filled with fifth rounders, sixth rounders, and undrafted guys that blocked for Super Bowl champion Aaron Rodgers and the Packers when they were there. It wasn't all like first round picks.
Well, think about Nick Allegretti. I mean, finding a player like that in the seventh round in what, 2019?
Yeah, that was 19.
Yeah, the Commanders are loaded with ex-Chiefs.
Yeah, they sure are, and Andrew Wiley too. But finding Allegretti, and then, I mean, for so many teams, if you think about the win over Buffalo in Buffalo a couple years ago.
Which one?
The one in Buffalo, the playoff game, where Joe Tooney tears his pec. And it's like, okay, so we have to go play Baltimore and Baltimore, and then go play in the Super Bowl, and you're playing these great defensive lines. You don't have Joe Tooney. You have to put Nick Allegretti in there, and yeah, he was great. I mean, to find a player like that in the seventh round, just a testament to Brett Veach again for finding these guys late.
Yeah, so those late seventh rounders are kind of important.
They kind of are. And Jalen Watson, Isaiah Pacheco.
Nazi Johnson.
Even Nazi Johnson on special teams and in defense as well. Like, finding those guys who end up being, like, contributors to Super Bowl champion teams, that doesn't happen anywhere else.
And I wouldn't sleep on guys like Hunter Norzad or like C.J. Hansen. Finding
they're on the roster for a reason,
taking that guard role there that they've got on the left side now. Because I mean, we heard a lot, they really like Norzad. Norzad's real smart, he's played all over the line. So, I think there is a possibility that I think there's going to be a very open competition there, not only at that guard spot, but you know, as you brought up at left tackle, I think Kingsley's probably going to get some reps at left tackle in camp. Probably not. Yep. I mean, obviously, he's probably going to get more reps at guard, but I think they will try to see, hey, you got a year under your belt. You have some more time, a full off season to train and develop. How have you developed at left tackle? Can you be our long-term
solution? Nothing said. I remember going back and Bill Snyder had it was back at the Big 12 media days that I went to, I'm like 16, something like that. His entire line was coming back. And that was, of course, one of the questions. Hey, what do you think of your whole offensive line coming back? And it was a Bill Snyder-like answer. It was great. It was like, well, that's good on paper, but I do like competition.
Yeah,
like I do want guys not thinking they've got that position locked up. They like competition. And when he said that, I said, hey, I see where you're going on this. It's why he's a good coach.
Brett Veach has told me numerous times that his job is to find as much competition on the roster as he possibly can. And it's not just like a fantasy football team where you say, okay, we're going to pencil in these guys. It's a long season. And not only does competition mean depth over the course of a long year when guys get hurt, it also means the best players are going to rise to the top. And an example I always think about is back in 21, when people forget that Kyle Long was the Chiefs' starting right guard in OTAs. I think Kyle would have been good for this team. I felt bad for him. He's an awesome guy, but right, he got hurt.
Hey, he loves the Chiefs.
Trey Smith steps in, and we don't look back. I mean, pretty incredible, right? So competition is a good thing, and that's the goal of this draft.
No, Veach is costing himself a lot of money because he's getting six rounders. He's having to pay maybe the top position. Creed Humphrey, a second rounder. Come on. I mean, he's getting guys that are drafted way beyond where they should, actually, including Jaden Hicks. They got the fourth round that Dane Brugler had as his best safety. Last year in his beast. We'll take a timeout. We come back more with Matt McMullen. I do want to talk some wide receivers because that's always a position I love. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to the Fans Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com. And by Powell Exteriors. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com. Your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, world? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, chicken farmer, and now host of Free Range. This is a show where I go off the field and off the script. We're talking what's hot in music, film, trending news, and everything blowing up your feed. If you love football, you'll feel at home. But if you're here for the vibes, the internet deep dives, the conversation, this is your podcast. Join me every Wednesday. Follow and listen to Free Range with me, Von Miller, everywhere you get your podcasts.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back. Character Concerns NFL Draft Special. Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero, Matt McMullen, Chiefs.com in studio with us.
And as always, this is brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC for siding, windows, decks, and more. It has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellExteriors.com.
With this weather, give me a nice deck to sit on, man. Give me some shade, too. I don't want all sun.
It's been great. It's not like last week. Last week, it was cold and windy, but now
it's going to be like 86 Saturday.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's too hot. I mean, I know that.
No, it is too hot. I'm 95 is too hot.
Well, 86.
95 is too. 86 is good. See, I'm cool with 86.
You guys are gonna hate me. I'm like, I want it to be like 55 degrees.
I don't hate you at all because I'm right there with you.
What are you doing?
I want to wear a hoodie, have a nice stout or something.
Well, I've got a mess too, and we like colder temperatures with a mess.
I like a hoodie for part of the year. But this is the time where I'm ready to get out of the hoodie and I'm ready to just be able to walk around with my arms exposed.
Well, you can Saturday.
Yeah, I can. I will. I will be up here anyways. Actually, sometimes it's cold in the studio, so you have to bring a hoodie.
Do Vern Saturday?
During the summer. Yeah. Yeah. It gets a little cold.
Well, Matt, we kind of hit that offensive line issue there. I'm team receiver always.
He wants them to draft the receiver every year.
Well, I do.
Every single
year. Well, here's the thing, though. I look at this
every
thing.
Year, first round.
I look at it, you know, here's the thing. You have Mahomes. And are they ever going to have a Mahomes again? I mean, in my lifetime, we haven't had a Mahomes until we had Mahomes. And I'm 52 years old. It's not like I'm just like the Chiefs for now. I went around during Dawson's time winning that first Super Bowl. But right afterwards, I was. But they have Mahomes. And I'm like, that's your guy. That's your Ferrari in the garage. That's who you feed with gas. That's what you put gas in is that car. And, you know, Peyton Manning had it. You know, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, Dallas Clark if you want to. Marino built up all those great numbers with Duper and Clayton. Yeah, he didn't have the rings. But so I am all for – I will never if Mahomes – and keep in mind, offensive lines for Mahomes as well. That Friday night in Kansas City, the draft was Kansas City. I'll never forget. That's the one night they went offense when they went Rasheed Rice and Wandy Morris. I was like, we got to make one night Mahomes here.
He was so excited.
Let's not forget who your quarterback is. But I am all team receiver. I know we talked a lot about Burden there at the beginning. But, you know, Steve Smith, I love his draft breakdowns because he goes to a lot of the pro days, former receiver in the NFL. He talks about that kind of abyss between the top four. Mm-hmm. You know, like your Golden, your Buka, your Luther Burden. in your T-Max, because then you get in the Trey Harris or Jaden Higgins or the Park Hill kid, Jalen Noel, the two Iowa State guys getting a lot of run and talked about. Do you like the wide receiver class after the top four? Are you kind of like, you can get these guys later on?
Well, I'm with you on the fact that I don't think there's any harm in taking a receiver as often as you can, because look at what happened last year. Like, if you're really good about your trio,
you need a worthy step up, which he did.
He did.
It takes a while, but he's a rookie, man.
And I think actually that ended up being a good thing for his development in the long run, where he had to be like the guy. And now hopefully everyone's
healthy.
He's a
leading receiver. Forget about the Super Bowl. He put better numbers than anybody, but tell the Super Bowl he was still leading receiver.
I think even though the Chiefs lost to Buffalo in the regular season, that game, really, from that point on, I mean, he was one of the best receivers in the league, I think.
Yeah, and he was. I think statistically, he was like one of the best in the league.
He proved that he's more than just a speed.
Like, grew
the Chiefs
up
aren't
really
drafting
fast.
Just, quote, a speed guy. They're not doing that.
No, and I mean, again, that's why almost when he ran the 40 time, I was like, did it have to be the fastest one? Because now everyone thinks...
like in the history.
I did worry about...
we got a bunch of texts about combine show off, and we're like, no,
it's not that.
That Saturday, I texted Bink and I was like, everyone's going to say that's a Chiefs receiver and teams are going to try their best to not allow them to trade up and get
him. Yeah, because half the guys are like, Chiefs get another fast guy.
I was like, if the Chiefs want Xavier Worthy, they're going to have to trade up for him now, because now it's like he's the stereotypical Chiefs receiver.
Because I'm shocked Buffalo did it for Coleman. Not because of Coleman, he did have the slowest 40 time, but you don't get that fifth year option.
It makes a difference. Yeah,
I think it's a huge difference when it comes to these contracts.
I think for them, they just wanted to accumulate that third round pick. But I definitely think when we saw Worthy last year, there was some concern that.
Well, with Buffalo drafting right before the Chiefs, and keep in mind, I know they brought in Bosa, but he's got a lot of injury concerns. Joey does, and it's about edge rushers and it's about receivers, because they didn't exactly break the bank in free agency. So the Bills draft board probably looks a lot like the Chiefs. So if they play it coy and quiet and we're not going to let Buffalo know what we're doing at all, I get it.
Well, I'm also a Mizzou fan. I went to Mizzou. So if the Bills take a burden and I have to all of a sudden root against Luther Burden, that would be a bummer.
You can't do that.
I know, right? But I'm with you on that. I think the top guys like Burden, and we talked about Burden last time I was on with you, like, I don't really understand why he's falling down. Like, he reminds me a lot of Rashee.
Matt Miller's favorite receiver.
I don't really get it. I think Golden obviously has the great speed and the production at Texas. He's a really good player.
But Gunnar Helm, the tight end, let that demon catch it.
Yeah, he did. Nick Mullen has kind of been falling down draft boards. Have you noticed that?
And I don't get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any...
Because people are going back, and Steve Smith talked about it too. He's good, not great, and he didn't play well against Colorado. Clearly, Travis Hunter was out there for that team. Mm-hmm. And people look at the year before in 23, and they're saying, well, maybe he takes plays off here and there. Can he be the next Mike Evans? That's who he's being compared to. Well, it's hard to be the next Mike Evans. It's just tough to be that guy. I don't believe it, though. I think T-Mac is still going to be the number one receiver
taken. Stop calling him T-Mac.
What's his nickname? That's what he goes by.
No, there's only one T-Mac, and it's Tracy McGrady.
Well,
we don't need another.
Can't do a cross sport.
Kendall McMillan, but he goes by T-Mac.
We don't need to go create another T-Mac.
Well,
we have one T-Mac already.
Did you see Rhett Lewis did a mock draft a few days ago?
Saw it.
And the Chiefs got Ted McMillan at 31 overall.
That's ridiculous.
And I mean, listen.
I'm okay with that.
I respect how bold it is. I do like a mock draft roundup article where I say, like, hey, here's all the different players that are being mocked to the Chiefs.
I go to mock draft database, by the way.
Throw that one in the trash.
That is the best resource.
Because awesome.
Every single mock gets thrown on there from every newspaper in the country, and they'll tell you the date they put it out. And it is a great resource, but go ahead.
Oh, I love stuff like that, but I almost didn't include it because I was like, this is pretty bold. Like, I don't know. Like,
I would, if when we do a mock draft roundup on our podcast, and that would be one I would I'm not gonna put that.
He's been gone in every single week.
I'm not gonna put that
Abdul Carter to the Chiefs, you know?
Yeah,
like,
Hunter falls to the Chiefs.
I guess that'd be super cool. But I mean, again, here's the thing: is crazy things do happen on draft night, and if a player like that did slide, to get back to what we keep talking about, I think the Chiefs are in such a great position where you can say, hey, this guy isn't supposed to be here. And that's what they did with McDuffie and to an extent with Karlaftis. So I would love if something like that happened. Someone's going to slide. It's a matter of who is it.
Well, what's funny about these edge rushers, because I used to look at all the top 20 sackers in the league. Typically, guys were tied to like 25, 27. Predominantly, it was good edge rushers to get to the quarterback. It's a tough position. It's not just somebody you can slide somebody to get to the quarterback. I mean, that is a skilled position. That's why they're paid so much. And it was picks 1 through 18. I mean, that was typically the guy if you want an edge rusher. But with T.J. Watt, we saw a guy at the end of the first round. With Carl Loftus, end of the first round. Mm-hmm. And now we see guys in the second and third round that's becoming a lot more prevalent as far as showing up in the stat sheet for top sacks in the league. I believe that position has changed where you can get value at the end of the first round.
I also think from an ideology standpoint, it'll be interesting if the Chiefs ever dabble in like some of these lighter pass rushers, guys like James Pierce.
Right, yeah.
People like Pierce a lot.
Yeah, I mean, he's a beast, but they're like 245 pounds, right, you know? Yeah. Like normally the Chiefs edge rushers are like
255 plus.
At least, right? So
they eat that Miss Spagnuolo, the what's the meatballs or something? With it? Isn't that their dish or something that Chris Jones loves or something?
Oh, yeah.
Like that?
Yeah. Spaghetti and meatballs. Yeah.
Spaghetti meal, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm curious if the Chiefs would ever dabble in that kind of player. We haven't seen a lot of it over the years, but these guys are like incredible athletes and it could make some sense. But generally, I feel like it's the heavier guys who can also bounce inside, which this draft also has a lot of those too. But that's one thing I'm kind of curious about going into this one is there's some really good edge rushers who don't quite fit that physical profile. And I'm curious if the Chiefs would ever go that direction.
I like Scorton a lot.
Yeah.
Because I like his potential. I like what he did at Purdue before he transferred to A&M. For some reason, guys who go to A&M put up the numbers they did before they go there, mm-hmm. which I look at that, man, because when he did Purdue 10 sacks, he led the Big Ten in sacks when he got there. But the edge rusher for the Chiefs, Andy Reid's, you know, been on the record and said, you can't have enough good edge rushers. You just can't. And you look at the edge rushers in this class, how much influence do you think a lot of the coaches have on that? Because I've heard, you know, Veach and these guys are going with McAfee and they'll talk about it. Talks about Andy Reid, like he'll narrow it down so don't have to look at everybody in the draft. But who do you like? Who do you like looking at? And you know Dave Merritt and Spagnuolo being a former defensive backs guy, he takes that advice, doesn't he? Because he was always that guy that, as a scout, that liked his voice being heard.
Oh, yeah. And I think this is really interesting. And what fans might not realize is I truly believe there are a lot of teams around the NFL where the front office is like, this is our job and we're going to do our thing. And this is our team. We're going to put it out there for you. The Chiefs aren't like that. I mean, the Chiefs are so collaborative and there's no egos involved between the front office and the coaching staff.
They're going to be the coaches coaching them.
Exactly.
So who do you like? Who fits into your system?
Exactly. Because that's also the benefit of having such cornerstones, people like Andy Reid, who's not going anywhere, right? And Steve Spagnuolo and these great coaches that it's not a situation where they're all like 35 years old and they're fresh out of college and who knows if you'll be here a long time.
If you look at the Eagles, they keep losing coordinators. Like the Chiefs are like that old
tough.
School college football teams like Florida State and Penn State and Nebraska all those years. Like Osborne had Charlie McBride all those years defensive coordinator and Solich at offense. I mean, they're staying together. They don't like hop jobs like you say.
And this is like our program and you come in here and we figure out what players are going to succeed with what we do. And yeah, I mean, the collaboration, it seems so obvious. Like everybody should do that. Like every single team should do that, right? But egos get involved, I think, a lot of times in the NFL and in pro sports in general. Not the case with the Chiefs. And I really think that's one of the reasons they've been so successful over the years is the collaboration between the coaches and the front office to find the best players for the Chiefs and for the coaches. And again, doesn't happen everywhere.
Because it's always so ego-driven. And I've always said, I think it'd be good for the offensive and defensive coordinator to go have lunch. What works against, what are you seeing weaknesses? How would you attack my offense if I'm coordinating the offense and like vice versa, your defense, how I would attack your defense? To me, that is knowledge you would want because you want to hear somebody's opinion. You don't tell me what to do. Yeah, I mean, you don't want that. You want, you know, collaboration between the two. We need to take a timeout, come back. I do want to hit the seventh round. Like some teams throw darts, the Chiefs throw starters.
We're going to get some deep cuts here.
Let's break it down.
The three seventh rounders and Mr. Relevant. It's relevant. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to the Fans Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com. And by Powell Exteriors. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com. Your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Chris Unicero, Sarah, the Character Concerns Draft Special, Matt McMullen from the Kansas City Chiefs. Kind enough to be sitting in here with us tonight. I know he's hungry, so I'm sure that the watch out, food places.
My wife told me that I had to bring home some dinner, so I got to make sure I'm not here too late.
Man, it's a real boss.
Y'all eating real late. Yeah. Now you're talking draft.
I know.
Look at the draft and say, come on now.
I can't eat this late, man. I ate like 2.5 hours ago.
After the show, I eat.
No.
They will be hungry at that point.
You want to hear a fun fact about Mitch Holthus?
Yes.
Mitch was listening earlier. I don't know if he still is, but Mitch will not eat on game day until after the game is over, and that includes like a Sunday night football game.
What?
Won't eat.
Is it just nerves?
I get
I think it's like a superstition thing. Like, just doesn't eat.
I can't do that.
Henry Lake never used to do it. He used to be with us at Llewellyn's. Remember, Henry would eat after the show.
Yeah, he always got his food boxed up, and he would eat it after. He would eat it at home.
All right, speaking of eating, 7th round, 3 picks, including Mr. Relevant, which I love. I would keep it. Because they have the nice parade for him out in San Diego, Mr. Relevant.
Yeah.
We've seen Suckup, you know, have success in the NFL. 7th round, I know. But you don't take it with a grain of salt. Most teams throw darts. The Chiefs don't. Veach kind of covets these 7th round. Matter of fact, these are a lot of the guys you see on top 30 visits. The later round guys are undrafted guys, a la Carson Steele last year. But the 7th round, I'll remind people, 2022, went Nazi Johnson. He got him. He got Jalen Watson in the last pick of the draft. Well, he was Nazi Johnson, but Pacheco went right before him in the 7th round. So that's when they had 3 7th round picks again. It was Watson, Pacheco, and Johnson, and all played on the Super Bowl team.
It's crazy, isn't it? And I could point to that 2022 season and say that the Chiefs don't get to the Super Bowl without all three of those guys, particularly if you look at the championship game against the Bengals. I mean, Watson has the interception. Watson?
Yeah.
Nazi Johnson had a block on Sky Moore's
punt
return.
He had that 98-yard return, didn't he, against the Chargers?
Watson? He sure did, yeah. Yeah, in week two of that year. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
then six,
obviously Pacheco was Pacheco. So, yeah, I mean, I always say you can't turn the draft off on day three because the Chiefs are going to find contributors. And I asked Brett Veach about that years ago. Like, why do you think you guys hit in the later rounds more than other teams do? And he was pretty... it was pretty simple. He said, I think we just work really, really hard on the later rounds. And some teams don't do that. And if you're a team that's picking at the top of the first round, maybe you're spending all your time about, hey, we got to find this guy who's going to change our franchise. But the Chiefs truly, they just spend so much time on and do their homework on these later round guys.
And I've always liked it as a signability issue. Like if you have a dart, you throw it because you don't want to sit there with everybody in the NFL trying to sign them as undrafted free agents.
Yeah.
You throw the dart, you get them, you get those players right. So a lot of times, you know, people will, you know, look at that. But Mr. Relevant is tough to trade, though. A lot of people don't like that last pick in the draft. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be Nazir Stackhouse like you.
Yeah, that's my guy. I think he fits perfectly. We've mocked him, I think,
it's Mr. Relevant.
3 or 4 times now. Yeah, he's probably my favorite option there at 257. I think he fits what the Chiefs are looking for. And to me, it's like, you watch his tape at Georgia. He's a little undervalued.
All right, they send you everywhere. They send you to Germany. You do all these things with the Chiefs. They will send you to the parade of Mr. Relevant. You just know that's going to happen.
Where does the parade take place?
San Diego.
And say, okay.
That is not
well, he's gonna
listen,
get him, he's gonna
listen, I'll do it for the team, okay?
Yeah, he's going to take one for the team there.
I'll do it.
Sunny and 70 every day.
Is Brock Purdy the most successful Mr. Irrelevant?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah by
try
far.
To think through it.
Yeah. It also was helpful that you weren't having to pay your quarterback money, and you could spend the money all other positions. But guess what? Time to pay the bill comes up, which is what's going on in Frisco now.
It's difficult, right? You find out how good is your quarterback.
Like you better win it when the window's open.
That's the thing, man. It's so hard
and
to
the
win
Chiefs
the Super
just
Bowl.
Just keep it open.
When you get there, you got to win as many as you can because it's hard, and you never know if you'll get back, and you never know if you'll get back with that team, right? That's the thing with, like, every single team every year that Mahomes talks about is no matter what, this team won't ever be together again. Not all 53 guys in the 16-man practice squad. That's why it means so much to them every single year. Like, even though we've been to all these Super Bowls, this year is different because it's with this team. And in the context of the Chiefs, that's why I know they're fired up for this year, right? Is the new guys coming in. You have like Mike Edwards coming back, guys that have been here before, but also players that have never experienced winning a Super Bowl. This is their opportunity this year. And that's why it means, I think, more than ever.
What's the only three guys that have been here before Mahomes? What, Jones, Kelsey?
And Winchester.
And Winchester. Butker actually was a starter. They came in. Mahomes was actually here first, but then he goes and Veach does a great move getting him off the Panthers practice squad. He actually played that year. Mahomes kind of, you know, redshirted behind Alex Smith. But technically just three, but four actually played if you throw Butker in there. That's insanity as far as flipping a roster.
It's crazy, isn't it? and how you can just churn the roster and find so many players that can keep getting you back to that moment. Mm. I mean, there's so many teams in NFL history, like the Seahawks come to mind. Like, they had this great team, and they went to a couple Super Bowls with that great team. But the 2019 Chiefs and the 2023 Chiefs that obviously won the Super Bowl and the 24 Chiefs that got there are completely different. Like, they play differently. Their strengths are different. Almost everything is different except for the core of the team. And I think that's really impressive.
Great stuff. That's Matt McMullen. You can stay as long as you want unless you go get food, whatever.
I probably got to go home, unfortunately.
That's fine. But Chris and I will talk about that. We were on a podcast with the Arrowhead Addict guys. And we were talking about guys that we like to fit the Chiefs as far as looking at the draft.
Most likely to be taken by the
Kansas City Chiefs. We guess on whether it's going to be right or not. Who knows? We hope we are. But anyway, we'll address that next.
You're listening to the Fans Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now to shoot off large-scale fireworks displays at jnmdisplays.com. And by Powell Exteriors. For siding, windows, decks, and more, it has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellKC.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.